The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast ahead of the Premier League weekend. As usual, it's Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern with you on this Friday morning to take a look ahead to the Premier League weekend. 10 matches in total to cover. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Derek McGovern. Derek, good winning that last week.
Indeed. Where's the fanfare? The drum roll? The jungle roll. The drum roll. 5-1. What a nap. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have listened to last week's podcast and not back Stoke, so vibrant was I about their tips. So well done to me. How did yours get on, Lee?
Massive winner. Massive.
What was it?
8-13.
Did it win?
Over 2.5, yeah.
And about yours?
Derek, don't mention my nap.
Could you translate that? I don't speak loser.
Delafeu to score, wasn't it?
And I mean, they were absolutely all over them as well. So if he's not going to score last week, he'll never score.
The tale of a gambler's lament.
I was livid.
8-13, no, Lee. Where did you hear that one?
I tell you what, DK, I'd kill for that right now.
I would. Let's get stuck into this weekend, then we'll start as always with the live matches. And Leicester versus Manchester United is first up. This is 5:30 on Saturday. Leicester 21-10 to win the game. The draw 23-10, and Manchester United 13-10. Enhanced odds, Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester City to win is 5-1, and Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the betting at 4-1. Top two in the Premier League prior to the weekend's matches. And Derek, this is all about Jamie Vardy looking to break Ruud van Nistelrooy's record for most consecutive games with a goal. And I suppose many will be attracted by that enhanced odds offer there. 5-1, Vardy to score and Leicester to win.
Well, you'd have been paid out most games this season. He's been sensational. And you look at them, and after four games into the season, I thought, yeah, the wheels will fall off. You know, for half a dozen games, you will see Leicester going back to their rightful place, you know, in the lower reaches. But they're sitting top, and it doesn't look likely to happen. The wheels don't look like falling off, mainly because of Vardy, but also a great supporting cast he's got there, led by Mahrez. And I'm looking at this fixture, and I'm wondering why Man United are such sure favourites to win, 13-10, not much more than even money. Yeah, it's Man United, but if they were called something else and playing the way they are now, they'd be 3-1. I couldn't possibly back Man United. I just can't see them winning this game. And I think Leicester, when you see a bandwagon, jump aboard it. You know, maybe we're a bit late for it because all the fancy prices have gone, but they're still over 2-1, a side that's done absolutely nothing wrong. And I think they'll beat Man United, I really do.
They are 21-10 to win this game. Derek said if they were called something else, I think the fans are calling them something else at the moment.
Shoot. Lee. Attack.
Yeah,
it?
Because they were poor midweek against PSV Eindhoven, no doubt about it. Drew 0-0. And the manager is there to make changes that influence the game. He made changes on Wednesday night against PSV, and by all accounts they got worse as the game went on, and PSV were pretty comfortable there.
Look, United, we all know United are a particularly boring team to watch at the moment. Although I suppose, you know, you would argue that you know, that away game against Watford wasn't particularly boring because Watford had to come out and play. I think if United get an early goal, it really opens up the game. But while the other team is at nil, Manchester United don't really seem like they really have to go out and attack. And that's the problem here. But I think, you know, with Leicester's ability to score goals, I think we will see goals here. My worry for Derek is that his extra bit of weight is going to break all the wheels on this bandwagon as he jumps aboard.
God you're not on it then.
Because let's be fair about this. Leicester have had a brilliant start to the season, as evidenced by where they're sitting in the table. But, you know, they beat Crystal Palace at home. Decent result. Went to Southampton, got a draw. That's decent as well. But this is where it all starts to really like take hold. You know, look at the games they've got coming up. There is some really, really tough games to come for Leicester City. You know, played Arsenal, lost 5-2. Now, is that evidence already that they can't do it against the big sides? They've got Manchester United, then they've got Swansea, but then they've got Chelsea, they've got Everton, they've got Liverpool, both those Merseyside teams, back-to-back away games on the 19th of December and the Boxing Day, and then they're at home to Manchester City just before New Year. So this could have all unravelled in terms of form, by 2016. Now, they'll still be doing great. They'll still probably pick up a few points along the way, so they'll still be on around 32 points, even if they do bottom out. I just wonder if that belief will extend to the big clubs. I'm not so sure. Some big prices around about, you know, Vardy, though. 13-8 to, you know, to break this record, to score in this match, effectively. Also, some specials around his consecutive goal-scoring record. When will it end? Exactly 10, i.e. now, 4-11. Exactly 11, 5-1. Exactly 12, 6-1. And 13 games or more, 10-1. It's currently on 10, of course. And we put up the 11-1, didn't we? I think all three of us loved that 11-1 when it was put up for him to break the record three games ago. So if you sat on that bet, then you'd be having a little bit on the 4-11, I guess, wouldn't you? Just to if you're that way inclined. As for this game, I think there will be goals. I think Leicester only know one way of playing, and that's to attack. I think the Vardy thing the crowd will be absolutely buoyant. You know, there's no reason for them to sit back and try and contain this Man United team. And, you know, with the defensive problems that Man United may have with injuries, you know, go and get them. You know, pace hurts teams. And with the pace of Mahrez and with Vardy in the form he's in, I see no reason that Leicester will sit back. I just think if they come forward, Man United will have a go as well. Total match goals, you're looking at over 2.5 even money. Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, over 2.5 goals, even money. And I think some people forget that this was the game last year, this fixture last year in September, was the game where Vardy really announced himself.
5 goals he scored against Man United, didn't he?
He set up 4 and scored 1.
Yeah.
So he was sensational in that game, and they came from behind to win 5-3. Leicester 21-10 to win this game. That's Derek's bet. The draw 23-10, Manchester United 13-10, and Lee playing the over 2.5 goals at even money.
13-10 for Manchester United at Leicester. Imagine that.
I know, at the start of the season.
Well, any time in the history of football.
I couldn't touch it. And here's an interesting one. Just say Man United were to win this, right, and go top of the league. You know, Man United fans don't want Blackface there. So he could, you know...
They'll want him there if he starts winning trophies,
well, no,
though.
No, but is it conceivable that a manager could be sacked with his club top of the league?
No.
No, it's not.
No.
I think he's got...
He's doing all right.
He's got until the end of the season, hasn't he? If they don't qualify for the Champions League, he's definitely out. And maybe if they finish fourth, he might struggle to keep his job as well.
I'd rather be a Man United fan watching that, sat on 27 points with the hope of improving as the season goes on, than, I don't know, say, a Liverpool fan in ninth with 20 points.
No, you know what, Lee? You remember the days of Roy Evans when Liverpool, the white suit team, what did they used to call them? The Spice Boys.
It's Spice Boys,
they
yeah.
were fantastic to watch Liverpool. And, okay, they weren't winning anything. I think they won an FA Cup maybe or something. But they were, you know, they were not travelling, not challenging for the league. But they were fantastic to watch. I honestly, as a grown adult now, I prefer that.
You're not a grown adult, Derek.
I much preferred that. And say, if Man United was in the league playing where they are now, the way they are now, no, don't give me that. I'd rather watch Liverpool finishing third, playing the football they played in those days, than watching Man United.
As long as they don't wear them suits, we'll all be all right, won't we?
That's actually the biggest revelation on the podcast, that Derek's a grown adult, I think.
in physicality.
Let's move on. Let's have a look at the Sunday games now. Tottenham versus Chelsea, the live ones. Tottenham are 29-20. The draw 9-4. Chelsea 19-10. Enhanced odds: Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 4-1. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in the betting at 5-1. Spurs' 5-3 victory in this fixture on New Year's Day ended a run of 9 Premier League games without a win against Chelsea. They'll fancy this, I think, after their 1-0 win on Thursday night against Carabag. Harry Kane scored 7 in his last 4 Premier League matches and got the decisive goal midweek against Carabag in the Europa League. I think Spurs will fancy their chances without Dele Alli, which will be a big miss on Sunday midday.
Yes, it will be. But I think, yeah, like you said, they're a team in confident form, aren't they, at the moment, Tottenham? They've got the best record of any of the Premier League clubs coming back from Europe this season as well. Obviously, you've got to temper that a little bit with, you know, who each team has played coming back from Europe. But it's something that they've obviously worked on, because that's always been a problem for Tottenham when they've been playing these Europa League Thursday nights. They haven't been able to back it up coming back. I mean, you know, the 2-1 win over Anderlecht was followed by the 1-1 draw at the Emirates, so nothing to worry about there. And Chelsea, I mean, you know, good result in midweek, but, you know, can you still trust them? I mean, the prices are just, again, like the Leicester Man United game, you know, if you've just woken up from a long sleep, you'd be absolutely staggered to see Chelsea at 19-10, wouldn't you? I just don't... It should be big enough, shouldn't it, to back them with. I just don't think it is, even though, you know, things are starting to click for them.
I think if you fancy them to win, though, Lee...
You're all over that. I mean, 19-10, you'd be absolutely, like... You'd be lapping that up, wouldn't you? Because if they are back, they are capable of, you know, of holding a Tottenham team who probably won't go out all guns blazing here. You know, the manager's a tactical man. You know, I don't think he'll be looking at this and thinking, right, let's go and beat Chelsea. They'll be looking at, you know, making sure they contain Chelsea the way Chelsea will contain them. But they've been scoring goals at home, you know, 3 against Aston Villa, 2 against Anderlecht, 4 against West Ham, 4 against City, of course. The goalless draw against Liverpool is the one that I think this game will be closer to, though. So I think that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a low-scoring match here. But, you know, I'm keen on Kane, though, as well. I must admit, his price for top goal scorer has been slashed in recent weeks as he just keeps on scoring goal after goal. He's one of those confident strikers, isn't he, who, once he gets going, it's very hard to stop him. This has come a bit too soon for me, Derek, for Chelsea. I think it's a too big a test. I think they could have done with a couple more soft ones before they get to Tottenham. But I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt, and I'm going to say that they get a draw out of the game. I'm just going to play the draw. I do like Kane to score, but the draw will do for me.
9-4 for the draw. If you're looking at Harry Kane to score, that's in the betting at 7-5. Chelsea draw no bet is 19-20 here as well. Derek, Chelsea have got a couple of wins back-to-back now. They were decent midweek against a terrible Maccabi Tel Aviv team. They've only won one of their last 7 away matches in the Premier League, though.
Yeah, and you know, that's the real test, isn't it? You're going to Israel and winning 4-0, well, they should be doing that. Yeah, I still think they're a basket case. I mean, I know odds of nearly 2-1 will catch the eye of optimistic Chelsea fans, but are there any of those left now? Because, you know, to me, the team are not playing for the manager. I know they keep coming out and saying publicly, yes, we're all behind, yep, Jose Mourinho. But they have to say that, don't they? They're just paying lip service to him. There's big trouble at Chelsea, and I'm not being fooled by 2 successive wins, one against Norwich, one against Tel Aviv. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a hill of beans when you're going to Tottenham, a banging form Tottenham. You know, I'd be all over Tottenham here, except for that midweek trip. I know that Lee says they've come out after European games and won at the weekend, but that was a hell of a trip. 6,000 miles, did I hear someone say? You know, it's to come back and play on the Sunday morning. I mean, Pochettino, the Spurs manager, has already been moaning, getting in his excuses early. Yeah. And one thing Lee said there, you know, back to what I've been thinking, I think both sides here will be happy to contain the other. I really do. I think it'll be a chess match rather than a football match. And a nil-nil here wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. 10 to 11 under 2.5 goals, that's just like buying money.
Okay. He put out a strong side as well, didn't he, for that trip to Azerbaijan? I thought he might rest a few players, but he didn't. He put out almost his full side.
I can't get it out of my head that, as good as Tottenham look, there's always a period in the season when they look like this, and it's usually about this time when it doesn't really matter, you know, and then they suddenly come up against the big teams. And do they have that belief to go and do it again? Go on, sorry.
It's funny you mention that, because I follow quite a few Spurs fans on Twitter, and they are of that mind. They said that it's just like Spurs, something catastrophic is bound to happen
at
soon
some point,
because that's the Spurs way.
Yeah, but I think they're different Spurs.
I agree with you, Derek, actually.
I think the flakiness is gone from
maybe
Spurs.
Maybe
they look more professional, more resolute.
Having watched them for decades, I find it hard to back that up with my money until I've actually seen it, I suppose, which is, you know, I know you want to be ahead of the curve, but there's a little quirky stat. That Leicester Man United game last season, was it 5-3?
Yes.
This game last season, 5-3.
Okay.
So the first two live TV games we've done were both 5-3 to Leicester and Tottenham last year.
Mm. I'll lay 5-3 here for you.
5-3 Chelsea with Costa getting 4. Yeah. You having that? Kane got 2 in that game last year in that 5-3 win as well, by the way. So, you know, if people like those kind of mug bets where, you know, players score against teams year in, year out, then that might be even more reason why you back that 7-5, was it?
Have you changed your mind yet about Costa?
No, just going through a lean spell.
Oh, dear me.
Look, I'm a Cafe Nero man anyway, mate.
That joke has to creep its way into every single not every single podcast, but at least one podcast a year.
It's more about my obsession with coffee than my terrible humour, although that is, you know,
evident.
Almost the same.
Yeah. Bets here on this match then. Under 2.5 for you, Derek, 10
yeah, to 11? 10 to 11, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll play the draw, but I would happily go draw under 2.5 as well.
Mm. West Ham versus West Brom is next.
West Derby, I love this West Derby.
2:05 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. West Ham even money. The draw 9-4 and the Baggies West Brom 3-1. Enhanced odds, Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win 7-2. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win is 8-1. I actually watched last week's West Ham match with my dad, who's a West Ham fan, and that enhanced odds offer. He still likes Andy Carroll. I think he's an absolute pudding. I watched that game last week, Derek, and it was just an abysmal performance from West Ham, and he was terrible, I thought.
Well, I mean, you're not surprising anyone there. I've said many times, if he was 6 inches shorter, he'd be a bin man. I can't understand how the guy is a professional footballer. The way he punts it, he looks like a dressage horse, the gait on him.
The gait on him. That's never been said before, that sentence. The gait on him.
I just can't have any price. And West Ham are even. Well, you know, we were talking about the wheels falling off Leicester. Well, they've fallen off West Ham, haven't they? I thought they'd give Tottenham a real go last week, especially away from home where they've been so dangerous. But they look really, really ropey. It looked as though their season was already over. And at home, you'd be less inclined to back them. West Brom, a great win last week against Arsenal. Okay, they were a bit lucky, but still, 3 points against Arsenal, who were flying. 3-1 to go and win at West Ham, where the likes of Bournemouth have done that already. My only worry, of course, is the Tony Pulis factor. He won't go there to win. He'll go there to keep a clean sheet. But 3-1 is big enough to tempt me. I'm going to go for the Baggies here.
West Brom, 3-1.
You thought Tottenham were a good bet, didn't you, on Monday when
I
we
did,
spoke?
I didn't mention
on
it.
On Monday, when we had a chat about it.
I need someone to corroborate that story, I think, at some point.
It's only me and you. Unfortunately for you.
Big win for West Brom last week against Arsenal.
Yeah, what Derek says is absolutely right, though. And I'll follow on from that with the fact that West Brom have got the best away defence in the Premier League, alongside Saints and Manchester City. Conceded just 4 goals. Here's the rub, though. Scored 3 away from home. So they're 6 away games that they've played so far have resulted in 7 goals in total. Now West Ham, you know, they've scored 11 at home, but they've conceded 10. So, you know, that evidence is their problem as well, I think. You know, and I can see why Derek would go for 3-1. I think Derek secretly wants a bit bigger. I think I think Derek would rather have. I think he would be more comfortable if they were a tiny bit bigger. And I can tell that 3-1 is not quite big enough for him. So I'm going to play the plus one. I think that's the bet he really wants. If he was a weakling like me, he'd take the plus one on West Brom.
Plus one, it's odds on territory, isn't it?
You could play the draw no bet.
It is 7-8. 7-10 plus one.
13-8. Draw no bet.
I can't stand that bet. I hate that bet.
You'd rather lose than have your stake back, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah.
Which is fair enough. Which is absolutely fair enough. The other way of playing, of course, is looking at the actual, you know, the total match goals. But you're looking at 4-6 for under 2.5. I'll play the draw again. I think Derek's right about Pulis. He'll go there and set up for the draw. I think West Ham, you know, 2 draws in the last 3 Premier League home games, 1 against Everton, 1 against Norwich. You know, if you're drawing against Norwich, you know, it wouldn't be a big surprise if you're drawing against West Brom. I'll just play the straight draw.
Okay, the draw is in the market there, 9-4. That's West Ham versus West Brom. Norwich versus Arsenal next up. Norwich are 9-2. The draw 3-1. Arsenal 6-10. Enhanced odds offers Nathan Redmond to score and Norwich to win a huge 16-1. Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win in the betting at 4-1. Lee, Norwich have won just one of their last 13. Premier League matches against Arsenal, and they've lost 7 of the last 9 as well. Norwich are one of those sides that could well get sucked into trouble at the bottom of the table. Last week's loss at Stamford Bridge, 1-0 loss, means they've now lost 5 of their last 6 in the Premier League as well. Olivier Giroud, I thought he might be part of the headline offer here, but he's not. He's scored in his last 4 away from home in the Premier League.
Yeah, everyone's raving about Ozil, aren't they? He's back to the form that we saw when he first joined the club, and Arsenal fans are in love with him again. I personally wouldn't take that enhanced odds offer. He's not that prolific, is he?
He's more of an assist man, isn't he?
There are more players in front of him, aren't there? So, it's going to be interesting to see what Wenger does. He keeps talking about resting Sanchez, doesn't he? I can understand why, because, sooner or later, if he picks up a bad injury, then you're struggling. It's ironic that all the players that he's got out injured, he wants to rest his best player in case he gets an injury, as we were talking about last week on the podcast. I'd keep playing him personally and keep letting him terrorise defences like this Norwich one. I think they'll struggle here, Norwich. They're not equipped, I don't think. I think there'll be a lot of endeavour, there'll be a great atmosphere, etc, etc. But they're not equipped to beat a team like Arsenal who can cut them to shreds, especially if they have a go at Arsenal. It's just how it happens, I suppose. Arsenal, I was all over Arsenal to obviously get a result at West Brom and they came unstuck. It was a really shoddy performance, though, and you don't get too many of those from Arsenal away in the Premier League. They went to Swansea and won 3-0, went to Watford and won 3-0, went to Leicester and won 5-2. That's more like the Arsenal I'm expecting here. Tricky to back them at 6-10, just because it's Arsenal and they can throw in a West Brom performance. So I'm looking at Arsenal on the handicap here. A two-goal victory would I don't think would be beyond the realms of possibility. They're the highest scoring away team in the Premier League, joint with Leicester, by the way. Leicester actually the highest scoring team in the Premier League, full stop. With Vardy's goals and Mahrez and everyone else. So Leicester, I'm going to go for Arsenal to beat Norwich by two clear goals. So Arsenal minus a goal at 7-5.
Okay, 7-5 Arsenal minus one for Mr. Phelps. He talked about injuries there, Lee, and Aaron Ramsey, he should feature in this match, played 20-odd minutes midweek. That might be a positive for Arsenal. Derek?
Well, yeah, he's a great player, Aaron Ramsey. But, you always worry about players coming back after a layoff. It takes them a while sometimes, doesn't it, to get into the swing. I hate Arsenal at these kind of prices away from home. There's something built inside me, and don't touch with a barge pole, it's telling me. Now, I know that's silly because, as Lee points out, they've gone to teams that you'd bracket alongside Norwich and won well, but not last week. Everything Lee says about, Norwich not being equipped to beat Arsenal, well, you could have said the same about West Brom, but beat them they did. I just 6-10 Arsenal. Everybody's raving about them because they beat Zagreb in midweek 3-0 or whatever it was. Dynamo Zagreb, aren't Arsenal entitled to beat them 3-0 in a game they had to win at the Emirates? I just can't understand why everybody's getting worked up. It was like all those years ago we used to get worked up when Arsenal sort of second string went and beat Bradford 4-0 in the Carling Cup. Oh, imagine what these are going to be like in 4 years' time. Well, they're out of football, most of them now. That's what they're like. I can't have Arsenal at these prices. I'm sorry. At 6-10, I just can't touch it. Norwich for me is just not big enough to back them to win outright. But with a goal start, I like the look of that. I think they're 13-10 rather with a goal start. Norwich, I like the look of that.
Okay, Norwich plus one for Derek at 13-10. On to the non-televised matches this midweek, and we'll start with Bournemouth. Their take on Everton at 19-10. Bournemouth to win this game. The draw is 23-10, and Everton 29-20. Enhanced odds: Matt Ritchie to score and Bournemouth to win is 6-1.
Did you put that in there?
I emailed them earlier on in the week, and Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is in the betting at 3-1. We saw a little bit of something from Bournemouth. Hang on.
Fire alarm!
Yeah. Is that the famous bookie? Did you set alarm bells ringing at the bookies? One of my bets.
Here we go.
Just a test. Leave that in. I like that.
You like that? Yeah, okay, I'll leave that one
that's
in.
A bit of excitement, wasn't it? Your face. I think you thought that the nap alarm had gone off.
No matter what happened, I was ready to complete the podcast.
I heard you in the background. Run for your life!
once in our other studios, the alarm went off, but there was no audio version of it. It was just a flashing light. And I didn't notice it. I think I was actually doing the punt with Ron and Robbie at the time, and I came out of the studio, and everyone had gone. The entire place was deserted.
Well, you get that at parties as well, though, don't you, Lee?
Yeah. It's just a shame there's no fire.
Damn those drills.
Bournemouth versus Everton then, chaps. As I was saying, Derek, before I was rudely interrupted, we saw a little something from Bournemouth last week. They went 2-0 up against Swansea, a team that are obviously struggling with confidence at the moment, Swansea, but they still only managed to grab a point. And Everton looked very good last weekend against Villa.
Yeah, well, if you're 2-0 up against Swansea and you can't hold on, you can't win, well, you know, there's something is wrong with you. I've said for a while at Bournemouth, we're a little bit better than their results implied. But how many times can you say that and keep losing money by backing them? I won't be touching them this time around. I think they're very underpriced, to be honest, because Everton are very, very tidy side. I read somewhere this week, I think they scored 20-odd goals this season, and every one of them has been from open play.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is an incredible record. Well, it tells you one thing. It tells you they're no good with set plays, although John Stones is great with play sets, I've heard. But I would have to say I think Everton at almost 6-4 to beat a Bournemouth side that most teams are beaten nowadays. I think that's a bit of an insult to Everton, you know. I thought they'd be shorter than that.
Is that a Merseyside joke? I don't get that one.
Play set. Yeah. Set plays. But he's young, isn't he? Young lad.
Oh, right. I thought it was something rude. That's just the way my mind's working, I suppose.
Don't you get play sets for Christmas anymore?
Not anymore, no. I've long gone. Don't get any Christmas presents anymore.
No. You know what? When I was a kid, I asked my parents for an air rifle, and they compromised. They got me an air guitar. that's the kind of parents I had.
Super. So you're going with Everton, Derek?
Yeah, I think that it might well be my bet of the weekend.
No, it was going to be my bet of the weekend, that one.
Dear.
I'll have to fight for it.
Romelu
Lukaku now got 7-7 in the Premier League, so that headline offer looks attractive as well. 3-1, him to score and Everton to win. Ross Barkley grabbed a brace against Aston Villa. And Gerard Deulofeu, despite not scoring last weekend, looked threatening, Mr. Phelps.
Just leave it, mate. Just leave it alone. But joking apart, he did look very good, and he looks like he's really a part of that team, you know. And whether he scores or not, his ability to assist is fantastic. And I think players like him are the reason why teams are struggling to hold on to Everton. There is one slightly troubling thing about Everton this season, though, and as well as they're doing the seventh on 20 points, their away form hasn't been fantastic. I mean, you looked at that first away win at Southampton, 3-0, and you thought, wow, that's a marker. Then all right, 0-0 draw at Tottenham, nothing to worry about there. 0-0 at Swansea, beat West Brom 3-2. Good result, obviously, but it wasn't the best performance in the world. Lost at Arsenal, and then drew at West Ham. They've had some tricky games there. Now, will they cut loose here against Bournemouth, who aren't particularly good home or away, as we know, second bottom in the Premier League? The only win at home in the last few was Sunderland, who were terrible. Lost 5-1 to Tottenham. I think we're looking at something more like the 5-1 result than we are at these tricky results that Everton have had. In terms of the actual match price, I'm not sure if I can go with Everton, to be honest with you. I just, because of the away form, I'd rather back Lukaku to score than Everton to win at the price. I mean, you can, you know, obviously you can match those up in that enhanced odds offer if you want to. But I think a player of his quality, I mean, every TV show I watched last weekend was raving about him and talking about how he's developed as a player and how he's not, you know, he's more consistent now. He had that great stat that you told us about last week on the pun, which was the fourth player to score 50 goals
before
he's in great company, and you think to yourself, well, you know, that's great evidence. It's not like there's some nuggets in there. They're all absolute world-class strikers, aren't they, who've done that before? So
yeah,
I think at that sort of price against this kind of defence, I think you have to back Lukaku to score at any time.
11-8 he is.
What was his stat again, Lukaku? What was it, 50 goals?
Yeah, it was 50 Premier League goals before the age of 23.
I mean, that is a big surprise, isn't it? That he's not 23.
Yes. That's a fair comment. Very fair comment. Man City versus Southampton next. Man City 8-15, the draw 16-5, and Southampton 5-1. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win is 3-1. Sadio Mane to score and Southampton to win is 14-1. Every single enhanced odds offer is a player that I love this weekend.
I think you've done these.
This one's Mane
have,
this
can
time.
Can you double these up? You should have like an enhanced odds treble. Life changer.
Southampton, a big price for a team that are unbeaten on the road this season, Lee. They've won at Chelsea 3-1, drew at Liverpool 1-1. City have only won 3 of their last 8 Premier League games. They haven't lost back-to-back Premier League games at home since December 2008, Manchester City. So a bit of a surprise for some last week that Stoke beat Southampton. But they're a big price here.
Yeah, they are. And this is the best home scorers against the best away defence. Problem is for Southampton, they don't really score enough away from home. They can't do both. They can't defend stoutly and attack at the same time and get the goals, which is obviously always going to be their problem. That's why they'll always be around the kind of, you know, 7th, maybe 8th, 9th position in the Premier League. Whereas we know Man City have got both skills in abundance. Obviously a disappointment, and they've been away to Italy in midweek, so they'll be a little bit jaded from that, I guess. But they're still going to go through, aren't they? I can't see them doing this. I mean, they were abject against Liverpool. And this is what we come back to all the time with this Man City side. In the early part of the season, there were steamrolling teams. And we started to say, I still haven't quite managed to nail it, have I? But I will go back to the fact that they struggle to put 90-minute performances together, this Man City team. And that was my problem with Pellegrini last year. I was amazed that they kept him in charge of the club, and they're still doing the same thing here. You look at that game against Newcastle. Newcastle could have had 3 goals in the first half against them. Second half, they were mesmerising, weren't they, with Aguero scoring all those goals, 1-6-1. You know, and we've seen it since against Norwich as well. Liverpool destroyed them in the first half, didn't they? Second half was a lot more even. I think they, you know, they got a bit of a rocket at half-time. It shouldn't take a half-time, whatever he does at half-time, to get them to start playing. So that's always a worry. I don't think Southampton will push them that hard, though. But I do think they could hold them until half-time. I think the way Southampton set up, they're a very disciplined and organised team. I think they can hold them. But I think Man City will get them in the end. So I'm going to play the half-time draw, full-time City here.
18-5 it is.
Yeah, I like that. I think, you know, I think City are obviously a quality team. I think they'll just outscore Southampton. I think with Aguero back in the fold, providing he plays, you know, they've got a player there who can score from absolutely anything. De Bruyne can score from anything. So even if Southampton are dogged and don't give much away, they've got world-class players who can break the Saints open. So yeah, City to win and go top when Leicester and Man United draw.
Okay, City to win the game, draw half-time, Man City full-time for Lee at 18-5. Derek, how do you view this?
Well, I wouldn't be backing City. I thought they were good things last week against Liverpool, and they were absolutely shocking. No team that are a title favourite should be able to put in a performance like they did against Liverpool. It was chronic. Now, you might say, okay, every champion-winning team can throw in the odd howl, and Man United did it now and again. But that's two in the first third of the season. Remember, they got battered by Tottenham as well. And there's something seriously wrong with City, you know. I thought there were certainties for the league. They probably still win it, to be honest. But the way they're playing right now, 8-15 to beat a Southampton side who I think have been always overrated by the bookies, but maybe not this weekend after the defeat at home to Stoke. I'm beginning to like the 5-1 Saints here. I think City are there for the taking right now. Company, I don't think, is going to be back yet, is he? Aguero is probably not 100% fit yet. And the other players they've got in, they're like Tottenham players, the flaky, the Sterlings, the Navases. There's a bit of flakiness about them. They're there to be beaten, City. And say, you know, Saints, who won at Chelsea early in the season, by the way, let's not forget. Good away record. I'm going to go for them at 5-1. I like the look of that one.
5-1, Southampton.
It's hard to argue with him after last week's 5-1 back. Yeah. I can't see that one.
Down. You should have seen David at Lee's first.
I raised my eyebrows. That's all I did.
What, the 5-1?
Yeah. No, you're better. Ah. But like I say, you got a 5-1 last week, so far be it from me to criticise.
Well, they're not in the same bracket as Stoke were at 5-1 last week.
Stoke were better the season, weren't they, last week, Derek?
Yeah, it was, actually. And funnily enough, you two didn't go for it.
Fair point.
It was
fair
better
point.
The first half of the season.
let's move on. Aston Villa versus Watford is next.
Yes, this is the one I've been looking forward to.
3 p.m. kickoff this one on Saturday. Today. Aston Villa 13-8, the draw 21-10, and Watford 9-5. A great stat here from Opta. No Premier League team has ever survived having accumulated 5 points or fewer after 13 games to start a season. QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, Swindon Town and Sunderland, the only 4 teams to have had such a poor record after 13 games to the start of a Premier League season. So as far as the history books tell you, Derek, Aston Villa might as well start preparing for the Championship next season.
Well, they are down, aren't they? And you know, there's another pointer, by the way, to how brittle Man City are, because the only point they've got in about the last 8 weeks, Villa, was against City in a 0-0 draw. So, you know, there's more reason to get on Southampton in the early match. Villa at home to Watford. I mean, geez, who'd back Villa? Who, having watched Villa, would back them? Who, having watched Villa, would watch them again? they're shocking. They're absolutely shocking. And I you know what? I scrap my Everton being better the weekend. Watford are going to be my better the weekend. They'll go to Villa and win, like most teams will this season.
9-5.
I was going to have that.
Watford to win the game. They have lost their last couple, Watford, but both those defeats came against the top two in the Premier League table, Leicester City and Manchester United.
Yeah.
This is a good opportunity for them to get back to winning ways against a Villa side that are pretty dismal.
Yes, it is. You know, and you know, Watford have scored in every single away game so far this season, barring the one at Man City. Man City have got the best home defence in the Premier League, only conceded one goal, so no shame there, losing 2-0. But scored at Newcastle, scored at Bournemouth, scored at Stoke, two at Stoke actually, scored at Leicester, two at Everton. You know, Ighalo and Deeney have been sharing the goals out between them. I think Ighalo's got four goals away from home. Deeney's got two in his last two, incidentally. I like both those players. I think Ighalo's a little greedy. You know, I prefer Deeney of the two of them because, you know, you always see Deeney. Right?
That's rich
his,
coming from you.
His arms, what do you mean?
Greedy on the football pitch.
I just get so few chances to have a shot that I think I may as well have a shot. But you always see Deeney, when you watch them, you always see Deeney throwing his arms up in the air. Like every time Ighalo gets the ball and shoots wide.
Yeah.
But you can't complain with his scoring record. Villa, I mean, they're just desperate, aren't they? I mean, you know, remember, cast our minds back to last season, before the new manager had come in, before Sherwood had come in, Benteke was out of the team. We said, the problem is they cannot score goals. Look at them again this season. Now Benteke's obviously gone and they've got rid of other good players. You know, in total, this season, they've scored 10 goals from 13 games. At home, they've scored 3 goals. Yet to win a game at home. Those poor Villa home fans. You mentioned it, Derek. Who'd want to watch them? I mean, they must be absolutely beside themselves. They're going down. We said at the start of the season that there were worries with no goals in the team. I don't see how they can outscore Watford here. So I can understand why Derek's going with them at 9-5. You know, look at Villa's home scoring record. Didn't score against West Brom. Didn't score against Stoke. Didn't score against Man City. That's fair enough as well. But yeah, I think Watford will have too much for them 9-5. But just to be a bit different, because Derek's already gone for that, I'll chuck in Troy Deeney to score at any time here. He scored 2-2, like I said, away from home, and I think he'll pick up some pieces. Maybe Ighalo will pass to him. I think 9-4 is a good price about him as well.
Okay, Troy Deeney to score 9-4. Derek going with Watford to win at 9-5. On to Sunderland versus Stoke again, 3 p.m. Saturday. Sunderland 21-10, the draw 21-10, and Stoke 7-5. This will be the seventh different club matchup between Sam Allardyce and Mark Hughes in the Premier League.
Good start. Who's got the winning record?
I have no idea. Sorry, didn't go that far. The two of only three managers to take charge of five different clubs in the Premier League as well. Who's the other one?
Five different clubs?
Yeah, five different clubs in the Premier League. There are two of only three managers to take charge of five different Premier League
Pulis
clubs.
Pulis has done three, hasn't he? Pulis has done three. Hargeau's done a couple.
I'll let you think on it anyway.
Is he currently managing in the Premier League?
No, he's not.
Okay.
No, he's not.
It's not Steve. Good question,
yeah. Yeah, so I'll let you think on that one. Huge result on Monday night. For Sunderland anyway, winning at Crystal Palace, Lee. Maybe after what we said last week about them going there on Monday night last year and winning, they'd like to play Crystal Palace away on a Monday night every week.
Yeah.
But that was a very important result for Sunderland and for Sam Allardyce.
Massive. And if you were in that dressing room or, you know, at the club all week in training, the mantra surely will have been, we build on that now. You know, we do not let that slip. I mean, you know, you look at the last two home performances before Southampton went there and won, and that was, you know, I know Southampton had a good go at them, but it was a silly mistake again. You know, and if you are Sam Allardyce, you'll be saying, look, we got a 2-2 draw against West Ham, who have beaten all sorts of teams away from home this season. We beat Newcastle 3-0. We let it slip against Southampton. Let's get back on it here. And you know, if they get a result against Stoke, that little home run doesn't look too bad, and that's what they need to get out of trouble. Good home performances. Stoke, I mean, look at the form. I mean, look at the away form. Look at the away defensive form.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's brilliant at the moment. all I can say here is it's going to be a low scorer. That's all I'm going to go for. I like the draw, I suppose, but it's hard to oppose Stoke the way they're playing. But yeah, I think two managers who obviously will know each other well, as you've demonstrated. I'm looking at low on the goals. The total match goals under 2.5 is 4-7. Bit stinky. So under 1.5, that big boost, 2-1.
Under 1.5 goals, 2-1 for Lee. I'll give you a clue, Derek. When he's interviewed, it's usually through a car window.
Oh, of course.
Oh, Sir Harry.
How did you not get that?
Yeah.
He wrote his book? I don't know, I didn't get it either.
Sir Harry.
How quick we forget about Harry.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Jeez. So, yeah, where, who would they be then? West Ham, Portsmouth, Tottenham. Who else?
West Ham, Portsmouth, Tottenham, QPR.
Yeah, QPR.
Can't think of anything.
One more.
West Ham,
Portsmouth,
Tottenham.
You never
West Southampton?
Oh, yes, were they in the Premier when he was there? Yeah?
I didn't think they were, but...
They probably were, yeah.
Yeah, must have been.
Okay.
Interesting.
There you go. Stoke are cruising along nicely, Derek, as Lee mentioned. They haven't conceded in their last three Premier League matches. That's five in the last six. They've kept a clean sheet, in fact. So they're going along well, and I know you're interested in that unders goals bet as well, Derek.
Yeah, that is nailed on. I mean, yeah, Sam Allardyce, the Sunderland manager, after the win at Palace on Monday, he was going on about, you know, we've been shipping goals left, right and centre. I've told the lads, we have to build on clean sheets. That's the most important thing. And, you know, he said that after the victory, and he's going to do the same again. He's going to keep it tight and hope to nick something on a break with Defoe, maybe. I know it's harder to do when you're at home, but when you're in the kind of situation Sunderland are in, maybe the fans will forgive it. But he ain't going to be going all out attack, that's a certainty. And Stoke don't do that anyway, away from home. You know, if there's going to be a winner here, it will be Stoke, because they won at Southampton, as I expected them to do, but it wasn't a smashing grab raid. They deserved that win. You know, they're a tidy side, particularly away from home nowadays. So if there is going to be a winner, it's that. But I don't think they're going to get too much. It's going to be hard to break down Sunderland and Stoke, we all know, away from home, and has a great defensive record. 2-1 under 1.5 goals. It all boils down to that. But that is a certainty.
Crystal Palace versus Newcastle next. Palace 8-11. The draw 13-5. Newcastle 19-5. Newcastle United's 1-0 win a couple of weeks ago against Bournemouth at Bournemouth ended a run of 12 Premier League away games without a win. However, a bitterly disappointing performance against Leicester City last Saturday at home, beaten 3-0. Palace beaten on Monday night, as we've mentioned. This is one, though, Derek, that Alan Pardew will be desperate to win.
Yeah, they were disappointing, though, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah. But then again, they always are at home, in my eyes. You know, Palace, we've said before, if Palace can't, you know, away from home, they're always worth a bet. But I'm like, I don't know. I go to Lee on this one, because I'm interested to see what he has to say.
You know what?
I was covering it because my computer's just gone out. I can't see the prices anywhere.
That's fine. No, but it is a tricky one, to be fair. And I've been looking at it and scratching my head as to where are Palace at the minute. But, you know, we've said it time and time again against about a lot of teams that Premier League these days, teams are by and large set up to play away from home and struggle when teams don't come at them. You look at the results. You know, Man City beat them 1-0 at home. All right, they beat West Brom 2-0, which is a bit of a surprise given West Brom's away form usually. Lost 3-1 to West Ham, 0-0 against Man United, lost 1-0 to Sunderland, as we've said. But then Newcastle's away form isn't much better either, is it? I find this very, very tricky. I've got very little idea which way to go on it. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't see Newcastle winning the game, but then I can't back Crystal Palace at 8-11.
They're nailed on this week, Palace.
You think so?
Newcastle were poor last week.
I know they were poor last week, but they had been improving, and I'm still willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that was a blip. You know, look at the performances before that. I know that. Look, they throw in a shocker every now and again, obviously, the 3-0 against Sunderland. Although, you know, Newcastle fans will tell you that it wasn't all that. You know, Sunderland scored at the right times and got the goals, etc., etc. And they were man down and all that. But since, you know, the 2-2 draw with Chelsea, get hammered by Man City 6-1, although they were good in the first half, beat Norwich 6-2, lose to Sunderland 3-0, get a home draw against Stoke City, 0-0, go to Bournemouth and win, lose 3-0 at home to Leicester. It's inconsistent, but I don't think you can rely on them every week. I don't think you can say they're terrible every single week. That's why I can't have Palace at 8-11. I'll go draw 13-5.
Draw 13-5.
That's a fair point, Ali, because you're right. Newcastle are poor, we know that. We know their limitations. But you can't rely on them being crap every week because they do sometimes throw in a good performance. And you're also getting almost 4-1 for them. You know, you're prepared to take a chance on their good performance being this week at a price of like 4-1. One thing you can rely on Palace is that they play a stone below their best form on home soil. You can rely on that because we've seen it, you know, time and time again. And they're only 8-11. So, you know, I can understand why you say Palace, Dave, are good things here, because on form they should be, I suppose, because Newcastle are abject more often than not. But it's these odds. I think the odds are wrong. I think as a punter, I have to go for Newcastle here, although it's not with any confidence.
Okay, 19-5 Newcastle for Derek. And we finish with Liverpool versus Swansea, which is Sunday, 4:15 p.m. Liverpool 4-9 to win this game. The draw is 100-30, and Swansea in the market at 13-2. Enhanced odds, Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win are 3-1. Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win 14-1. Derek, you were stunned last week, no doubt, with that performance against Manchester City, winning 4-1. Winners against Bordeaux as well on Thursday night. And Roberto Firmino, Man City made him look like Messi.
He did. He looked good, didn't he? He did look very good. I don't know where he's been hiding that. Was it a one-off?
Not marking him is the key, isn't it?
Well, yeah. He was tremendous. Well, Liverpool were tremendous. It was as good as I've seen from him in years, since, you know, the glory days. But then it was all back to normal again on Thursday night.
Were the glory days the white suit days, or the kind of John Barnes,
the Barnesy days, of course. You wouldn't get a white suit to fit Barnsley now, would you?
He'd probably wear it multicoloured one anyway, wouldn't he, to be fair?
He's 4-9 Liverpool, though. And what I saw from him against Bordeaux on Thursday, that's the Liverpool I've been used to over the last few seasons, struggling to break down ordinary teams at Anfield. If you play like they did against City, they'll murder Swansea, because Swansea are poor at the moment. But you can't rely on Liverpool, and I can't bring myself to back him at 4-9. I'm not backing Swansea either. To be honest, maybe last season at 13-2 to win at Anfield, I'd have backed him, but this is a different Swansea now. They can't seem to get a result. And great credit to them to come back from 2-0 down against Bournemouth. But how on earth are you 2-0 down against Bournemouth in the first place? That's what you should be worried about if you're a Swansea player. I think I'll have to go here. With Swansea with the goals, with a goal start 7-4, I'll go for that Swansea. But again, it's thin pickings on the Coupon this weekend.
Swansea plus one at 7-4 for Derek. I suppose Philip Coutinho's fitness will be a major factor in this match. He had hit form but didn't feature against Bordeaux, and whether or not he's back could influence your betting strategy here, I think, because it's so important.
It influences mine quite a lot, actually, because I was looking at him on the score sheet. To be fair, when you look at Swansea away from home, they concede every game, but they don't concede an awful lot. Haven't played many particularly great sides, admittedly, but conceded one against Norwich away, one against Aston Villa, three against Southampton, one against Watford as well. They tend to concede goals to defenders as well. You tend to find, like, Johnny Howson scored for Norwich, for instance. They also conceded one at Sunderland and had that 2-2 draw at Chelsea earlier in the season. So I was looking at maybe them being able to contain Benteke, now that we know that Sturridge isn't going to be around to play. Still in the list, by the way, but obviously he's picked up that new problem. I was looking at a midfielder getting on the score sheet for Liverpool. Coutinho's not playing. 7-4 is a nice price for him, by the way. I'm not sure who else would line up for that. That's the problem with Liverpool. Not enough goals from midfield at the minute. I thought Benteke's goal, the winner, as it turned out, was fantastic in midweek. And, 21-20, you could probably play him to score and Liverpool to win. I think they will win. I know Derek's a little bit down on them because the performances aren't fantastic. But, you look at the form, and that Palace defeat aside, which you can excuse as being a blip, I guess. They've been in decent nick recently. Especially, you look at the there's lots of goals in their game as well, both teams scoring in the Bordeaux, the Man City game, the Chelsea game. So I think Liverpool will win. I'll go, if Coutinho plays, I'll back him at 7-4. If not, I'll go Benteke to score and Liverpool to win. By the way, just one quick thing. There's a book, one of the books that was nominated for the William Hill Sports Book of the Year, called Living on the Volcano. It's about football managers, and delves into Michael Colvin, the author, talks to loads of football managers from all different levels of the game. The chapter on Brendan Rodgers, just unbelievable. Derek, you've got to read it.
I'm really. What does he say about it?
It's just they're talking about their life. So the book is basically about almost like have a look at what they're going through behind the scenes.
Okay.
It's not just what you see in that 30 seconds on Match of the Day.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, you know, and what people, what they're like. But, you know, as you know what Brendan Rodgers is like when he's chatting away on TV and he's so, you know, so eloquent and so,
yeah.
He's so kind of modern manager. You can hear him speaking, but it's a really good chapter because he's so easy to read and listen to. But I mean, I didn't really, you probably know, Doug, I didn't realise some of the things that he's been going through since 2010 off the pitch during his most successful time until he got sacked. You know, I think he's lost his mum and his dad. He's separated from his wife. His son's been through court for a sexual assault charge. I mean, all these things that are going on, it delves into all the other managers. Great book, though, and that chapter is well worth a read.
Yeah, I'll read that.
It's good.
Super, super. Liverpool versus Swansea, then. Liverpool for Lee with Benteke to score.
Coutinho plays. Just him scoring it.
And Swansea plus one for Derek at 7-4. That brings us to the Naps, then. Chaps, nap time. Shall I kick us off this week?
Yeah, I know what you're going to go for. Everton.
I am going to go for Everton at 29-20.
I like that.
Fancy them strongly this week away at Bournemouth. I think they're good. Mr. Phelps.
Well, I'm going to take a leaf out of your book and go for an anytime goal scorer, just to be stupid about it.
Okay.
Troy Deeney to score at Aston Villa. I think Watford will score two. I think Villa are fragile, as we've talked about. I think he's a class player, and they obviously got pace, can hit them on the break. So Troy Deeney to score any time.
That's 9-4, and
well,
Mr.
That,
McGovern.
That robs me of going for Watford, doesn't it?
Oh, you're going to go for Watford?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've got a better one anyway.
All right, okay.
All right. I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals in the Sunderland Stoke game at 2-1.
Under 1.5 goals in the Sunderland Stoke game. I do like that a lot.
I like both your bets.
That is 2-1. This treble should land then.
I'm worried about Troy Deeney already.
I like both your bets. I just don't like mine.
I like it when it drops in.
22.88-1. Everton. Players are tricksy though, because one might lay you down like last week. Everton 29-20 to win at Bournemouth. Troy Deeney to score any time. Aston Villa versus Watford 9-4. Sunderland versus Stoke under 1.5 goals at 2-1. Remember, folks, you can follow us all on Twitter. At Lee Phelps, at Bet Like a Pro, that's Derek's, and at D Kellner, which is mine. And you can download this podcast via iTunes or audioboom.com just by typing in William Hill. Thank you, Mr. McGovern, for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening, and make sure you're back for the Pump Podcast next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.